May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. When does the good news of Jesus Christ, the Messiah and Savior of the world, begin? For Mark, it begins with the baptism of Jesus, in which he was identified as the beloved Son of God. Matthew begins his gospel with a genealogy that explicitly connects Jesus with Abraham, the progenitor of the nation of Israel. Luke, who is a Gentile, traces that genealogy back to Adam, suggesting that the salvation Jesus brings is for the whole world, for the whole human family, all of us. John's gospel begins the good news in the beginning, echoing the opening words of the Hebrew scriptures, the creation story found there, and implicitly linking the story of Jesus to the story of Israel. St. John the Evangelist, whose feast day the church celebrated 2 days ago, begins his gospel not at the conception of Jesus in Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit, nor at the cradle, nor with a visitation by wise men. John begins his gospel at the conception of the cosmos. He offers no creche, no kings, no shepherds, no angels to distract us from his message. God, through whom the whole world was created, became a human being to bring light and life and grace to all human beings. John is proclaiming a great mystery. In the beginning, not only connects Jesus to the ancient biblical stories of Israel, it is a proclamation to the Greco-Roman world into which Jesus is born, and throughout which this gospel spreads like wildfire. John's gospel is good news for the first Jewish Christians, and it is good news for the Gentile Christians in the beginning of the church's proclamation of the true light, which enlightens everyone. We might ask, that was all a long time ago. How is it good news for us now? To open up this idea, I would like to introduce you to the Jewish New Testament scholar, Adele Reinhardt, who wrote the notes for this part of John's gospel in the Jewish New Testament. I've used her language and ideas to paraphrase a key verse in this hymn to the Word made flesh. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. And we have seen the kavod, the visible manifestation of God's presence, as of a father's only son, full of chesed, steadfast love, and emet, which is truth that does not give way. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. This is theologically dense, somewhat abstract, and this is John's Christmas story for us, in which we get the intersection of creation and redemption, the doctrine of incarnation, the Word made flesh. We get glory and more grace than we can encompass by saying the word once. It is grace upon grace. Where Matthew and Luke have God incarnate lying in a manger, the evangelist John brings us the vision of God with us in our home, because that's what tabernacle is. It was the tent that God lived in while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, He was at home with them. The hymn of John the Evangelist rings true for us in this place, where God is at home with us when we encounter the steadfast love in our community that supports and upholds one another, perhaps imperfectly, but we do try. That hymn resonates also in the place where again and again we proclaim the truth that Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. And where even at the grave, our song is Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. What was accomplished in the incarnation was nothing less than the restoration of humanity to a state of wholeness in which God created us to live. And we bear the scars of our manifold sins and wickedness. But from his fullness, we have received grace upon grace. And we continue to receive grace upon grace, which allows the manifestation of God's presence to shine through those mended places where we are cracked, have been cracked, and put back together. Grace and truth have come to us through Jesus Christ, and through Jesus Christ we have come to know God. So, my fellow theologians, what does this heady, ethereal abstraction mean for our lives? Don't worry, you do have what it takes to be a theologian. If you've got a heart that longs to be filled with love and a mind that is filled with questions, and you're in the presence of the body of Christ, you're a theologian because you're thinking about God, and that's what theology is. Now that the gift-giving and the feasting are pretty much over and done with, I hope you'll take some time to be good Anglican theologians and ask yourselves, what do I know about God because Jesus Christ came from the heart of God to be one of us? If you're worried about getting the answer right, here's a hint. It's all about love. As Presiding Bishop Michael Curry says, if it isn't about love, it isn't about God. We seek and find Jesus not only in the words that we say in church, but in the sacramental life that we share. On Christmas morning, our prayers here at Holy Trinity are not just prayers of our hearts and minds, but of our hands and feet. We gather in the parish hall for the Christmas Holy Eucharist, and we share in our big S sacrament of Holy Eucharist, while all around us there are little S sacraments taking place. And what I mean by little S sacraments are the small but important actions that reveal the love of God in the world. We have a dedicated crew of cooks who prepare Christmas dinner for Meals on Wheels. They drop off their food. Some of them work in the kitchen and listen to us singing Christmas hymns and hearing the word of God coming from the next room. And on Christmas morning, we read this same passage from John that we just heard. And after this passage from John, the congregation moves to the tables that are set up in the middle of the parish hall. And we assemble those meals in response to hearing that the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us in this wilderness of darkness. And together, we enact the truth that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. I can guarantee you that hearts overflow with joy at sharing the love of Jesus with our neighbors. And we receive grace upon grace as we gather around the table where the prepared meals are stacked for distribution, and we bless them before we send them out. It is the perfect blend of sacrament and sacramental life. It is so holy and so wonderful, and it is exactly what Jesus came to show us how to do. I love this Holy Trinity family. You are the living body of the incarnate Word. I can see the one who is tabernacled here with us in each of one of you. And we share grace upon grace, not just on Christmas morning, but year round. What a gift. Merry Christmas, y'all.